minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 141. Tommy Jacket.
Feeling good. Back at it.
That's great. You're in your office.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Out. Like, this time yesterday, I was absolutely fucking nowhere. And today, I'm just killing it. Just back at it.
Did you listen back to hear what you sounded like vomiting?
No, I listened back to the audio that I sent you, so I could only hear one side of it. So I listened to the bit, and I was very surprised. I don't know what you put in the final edit, but I listened to the bit where I ran to the toilet, and yeah, it was very graphic.
Well, the funny thing was I got pulled. It's good having Bree here as sort of a producer for me, because I was editing the show and I brought up the volume, so it was like equal to our normal like vocal volume of you vomiting, and Bree's like, it's too much.
Too much.
Just put it to how it was. And so what people were hearing was an sort of unsort of processed sound of you vomiting. I didn't increase it or anything.
Okay, I thought you were going to cut it out, but that's all right. I appreciate that we had
put a little
rule.
Bit in there. Just,
the rule of the show was we do this without editing. So if you're listening for the first time, exactly. This is very much unfiltered. But I have been.
And I also led with the on the title with our first on-air vomit, which was funny because I've been doing some back-end work of some potential guests that we'll be getting in the US, which I'm very excited about later in the year. And it's annoying when they respond back and start interacting and say, hey, like, oh yeah, what's the Daily Talk? And the first thing they're going to see is our first on. They're going to think we're this super wacky duo, you know?
Oh, God. But we got a message from Russ Keys. He said, get well soon, Tommy. So that bit's for me. Love your dedication. Always be contenting, he said. Solid.
ABC from Leon Sjogren.
ABC, Leon Sjogren. And he just pulled us up. So we're closing the loop that we didn't even know we opened this loop. But he said, P.S., mastectomy is the removal of a breast. And that's what the word I thought that I said. But he said, vasectomy is the procedure for male sterilization. And that's the word I actually said instead of mastectomy.
Well, I know what a vasectomy is, but I feel like in the moment, I don't think we need to justify it. We fucked up.
I did fuck up.
Did you feel a bit silly? I felt a little bit silly.
No, I was actually pissed off at whoever came up with those because, mate, they're very close.
Yeah. I guess a me means the removal of something.
All right, mate. Don't open this even further.
Can that just be our word of the day? Because I haven't done any research. Word of the day. You've got two. There you go.
All right. So I didn't tell you. I wanted to talk about this yesterday. Over the weekend, I went to Jules's house, Jules London. He messaged me on the Friday. He said, mate, Saturday, I'm going to have a binge YouTube watch. Watch some Casey Neistat, bunch of others. You want to come over?
What a cutie.
I know.
That's a really cute thing to do.
Inviting me over for a little cute little binge watch. No,
it's almost the equivalent of saying, hey, do you want to come? I'm going to read the newspaper this morning. Do you want to just come? We'll share a page each. It's pretty cute and random.
That's all we do. That's you and I, Josh, not Jules and I. Yeah. But no, he'd never really watched Casey's stuff. He knows who Casey is. And if you don't know, Casey is a big YouTuber, lives in New York. Got nearly 10 million subs. He's a, filmmaker. Oh, that was BMAC, sorry. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. BMAC getting in the show. It's been a while since we've mentioned BMAC.
Yeah.
So g'day, BMAC.
He's just messaged through. He always messages while we're doing the show. And now he's asking how many listeners do you have now on the podcast? Fuck off, mate.
Tell watch him Josh. To look at the Instagram story.
Yeah, watch Josh's Insta stories. By the time this comes out, it'll probably be expired. Anyway, so I went over to Jules's house and we're watching these YouTube videos, and it was on a big LCD screen. And so, you know, it's not like you're watching them through your phone and stuff. So there's already, like, you know, the quality. I've never really experienced this because you've always been watching YouTube on
YouTube
high definition televisions. So it's a different experience as it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a big fan of Casey and a bunch of other filmmakers on YouTube. But in this moment, I had this realization where I was like, his stuff isn't that impressive. And I love his stuff. But what I mean by that is, in the setting of sitting down to have a purpose viewing of YouTube content that someone has never seen and he's heard how impressive they are, it didn't feel like it was impressive at all. But what I realized was, and I don't mean as in he can't tell a story, he can't use a camera. I just mean what I kind of worked it out to be was, and I had this like penny drop moment, and it was like the narrative over the long term of someone's channel and the buy-in you get with their journey from, you know, a few subscribers through to 10 million subscribers is so what adds to the value of their and the greatness of their content. And so, like, I kind of left and I was going, that wasn't as good as what I thought in my head. But what I brought
this
it down to was...
This is a classic case. Yeah. It's a classic case of having a... it's like you're bringing a mate to your favorite band's concert, and there's that you're wearing all of that sort of expectation. You want them to enjoy it, but then also you're viewing. It's like you're viewing them on a different setting. So it's like your favorite band being at the AFL Grand Final.
Yeah,
and so it's like it's a completely different setting. So did you notice the quality was different as well, or was it mainly just the buy-in that people get from watching a lot versus just a single app?
Yeah, I think the quality, it stands on itself. It's a bit, it's not TV quality in terms of the production value, but I think this it stands on its own. But I think it's definitely just like what I really was thinking about was that long narrative that you're creating versus each individual video and how amazing they are for each individual video. So it's like for what we do, it's like this long term thing that we're creating where people jump on board and they support us and, you know, pat me on my back when I'm vomiting. And but then if you're just listening to a standalone or watching one video and you have no idea of anything, it's like you don't need...
A bit lost.
You're a bit lost. And not every piece of video needs to be this kind of... you're not explaining everything that's going on. So it's like you're creating a bit of this buy-in factor to go, okay, what's he talking about there?
It's the equivalent of Jules never seeing a Pixar film and then being like, okay, we're going to watch Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the buy-in to Woody. He doesn't get the importance of all this shit, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, that's true. And when we're talking about, like, I think it's like probably ingrained in us to when you sit down to watch a TV, so like a big television, you get this experience and you have over your life of seeing a movie or a TV show, something really highly produced. So I think it changes the factor. So maybe that played into the thought of maybe this isn't as good as I thought, because usually you're consuming this content like small screens on your phone.
Well, I mean, what does it mean to be good?
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I guess... I think it's the thing that I felt that was missing in that for Jules, and that was that over time factor. I think that contributes to being good. It's not just each individual video that you're putting out, because some of them aren't.
It's the characters amazing that are developing. Like if you think about, even people will watch videos on YouTube or on Twitch of people just playing video games, and so you've got to think about like what is the interest factor there. And I think that it still plays into a lot of the things that happens in film and television, but on an even greater level, which is this, you're getting, it's almost just hours of spending time with them and understanding the characters and understanding this person hates this thing within the game, and when it comes there's going to be a great reaction.
I showed him some Will Smith's vlogs. And and it was the same thing. I was like, fuck, man, you got to check out Will Smith. I love his stuff. And then I was like, oh, actually. But I still love them and I don't think they're bad. But it's like you definitely sell retrospectively in something harder than what it actually is. But I think it's okay. But when we spoke about something for someone like Will Smith, and I was saying how cool it is that there's this celebrity, he's like, you know, such an uber celebrity, and he's now doing YouTube content, which, like, is and Jules said the comparison was like when Kiefer Sutherland, who was an actor, went to TV show when he did 24, and that was like a massive step for, because movie stars weren't doing TV shows, and then he was one of the first to go from the movie to the TV show, and like people were criticizing him as, you know, as it was happening, but luckily it was super successful for him. And then you see all these trends.
I haven't been able to connect with the Will Smith stuff thinking about it. I think that it's just too like maybe there's an unrelatability to him where, and you sort of get the sense of it's a fish out of water story in some regards where it's like he's, you know, even seeing him go and see Casey and all that sort of thing, it just feels when people, what I find interesting is you move someone from to a different context, even like what you're experiencing, which is like seeing something on a TV screen with a friend versus watching something on the mobile phone. What you're willing to deal with is completely different. Do you like the Will Smith stuff?
Yeah, it's okay. I love Will Smith, so if I'm a big fan of him, and I just love how out there he is and how famous he is. I love that sort of narrative of this guy I grew up watching on TV in these massive movies. And then I was watching one the other night called Focus that he was in. And shout out to Rob Taylor, my mate, Robbie Taylor from Sheriff Longmire. He's in that film with Will Smith. He plays this really outrageous Australian guy who swears a lot. It's hilarious. He's in it. But yeah, so just seeing this guy who you grow up with, his massive movie star, then doing this stuff, he seems more accessible. But then we were talking about like people who moved to Hollywood. Imagine all the people that moved all over to Hollywood wouldn't touch like their own, you know, YouTube content, or, you know, try to create some sort of profile online as a personality when they're trying to, you know, become a movie star. They're trying to position themselves in this higher echelon. And now it's like, I think these kind of guys, Will Smith, is giving people permission who are wanting to get into the space of doing what he does to then just build a brand through their own YouTube content as well. So it's not like...
And it doesn't... And you've got to accept the fact that it doesn't always translate. I think there's probably a bunch of people who are even maybe authors. They've written books. You'd think they've got like a great sort of tone of voice, and their style and their messages are great. And then... Yeah. I even felt that a little bit with it was an adjustment, me watching the Masterclass with Malcolm Gladwell, because you've got someone who's like quite, you know, super articulate in his writing, you know, with The Tipping Point and Outliers, he wrote those books, David and Goliath, and then you see him in video and you forget that the people who write books can be these odd, quirky characters who are like like that sort of vibe. He was like, at first I was like, oh man, he's so nervous, and then before you know it, I'm like into it, and I'm like, I understand. And what it was his voice, what I was expecting him to be. And I guess even listening to him on the audiobook form where you have written material versus improvisational talking to a point is a completely different craft.
So you're seeing how he's thinking actually is, because he's having to just say what's on his mind. So he's
he was darting, and in some regards, like you look at Outliers and all these books, and what he's doing is he's taking stories from all different parts of the world, and he brings it together, and he shows similarities and creates stories around it. And if you think about it, they're pretty sort of sometimes they're crazy connections. They're sort of really far apart, and so it's really creative to be able to find those connections. But if you think about it within the moment, there's a big difference between doing that with an editor and having time versus actually having a mind that's going to do that, where he's just got all of these sort of parallel stories he's jumping on.
It's I don't know what's going to happen with this stuff. I'd love to see Tom Cruise start vlogging. Just some unusual celebrity, so unattainable, and then all this, like, how many interviews does Tom Cruise do if they're not for a movie around a specific topic? He's doing fuck all.
I don't
all.
Think it would even... It wouldn't serve Tom Cruise. What Tom Cruise is... Like, I don't think that he's in the game of humanizing himself. He's in the game of playing characters. And I don't even think we know... I've never seen sort of Tom Cruise as Tom Cruise. I've always seen Tom Cruise as like he's playing a character, and he's even playing a character of himself when he's on Oprah or any of those other shows.
Yeah, I heard.
I've been getting into
Scientology
just last night. Not Scientology. I went onto the YouTube sort of most viewed or sort of trending pages.
Yeah.
And I've gone down the rabbit hole of hip hop culture. I was like, you know, like there was a part of me which is like, I think about where I get my inspiration from, what I listen to, and it can be a little bit one dimensional, white dude, you know, talking type of thing. So I'm trying to consume different types of content with different cultures. And I was watching an interview last night, and it was awesome. I don't know if you know this guy. Do you know a guy named Tekashi 6ix9ine?
Oh, dude, B-Mac just lost it. He fell off his chair at the lack of pop culture knowledge that you have in that fucking huge head of yours.
Do you know who he is?
Dude, I've been obsessed with Tekashi for ages. He's
great, isn't he?
He is
Mexican
so
dude
out there.
From Brooklyn.
He calls himself the King of New York, and he is absolutely the opposite of what you think hip hop is. He's this dude who isn't even black on the eye. He's Latino, so he's like tanned, but he uses the N-word like no tomorrow. And he's got the number 6ix9ine, that's his rap name, Tekashi 6ix9ine, tattooed over his body hundreds of times. He's got face tats. He's got fluoro hair. He looks like
multicolored hair.
Yeah, what's that? My Pony, My Little Pony. Those things that you had in school, or is it cross between a My Little Pony and a troll doll that had those fluoro colored hair?
He's such a nice dude, though. Like watching the interview, I was really warming up. You know. I felt fondly of him. I was like, oh man, he seems like a nice young guy who's had a hard upbringing, and he's got his entourage of random dudes that's got nothing to do with rap. It's like a Mexican dude in a polo shirt that sort of like wakes him up in the morning and gets him food. I mean, tell us more about, give us a schooling on Tekashi.
I've been fine. I feel like you feel like you would right now when I message B-Mac and I say, dude, you know Tekashi? Like this guy, what's 6ix9ine? You know of him? This was ages, months and months and months ago.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, dude, I've been following him for ages.
I vaguely remember you mentioning him, I think, even on the podcast.
I just love his, he's like a massive troll. He goes and like, he trolls people online.
And he looks like one too.
Yeah, and he's just a tiny little dude. He recently got robbed. He was in like a car accident, and these dudes robbed him at like 5 a.m. in the morning in Brooklyn. There's heaps of people after him, and he's been in a few fights, but he's always just in like trolling people online. But he's got some good songs. He's got a few good songs, and he's just managed to... He's so charismatic and so much personality, and coming at this scene from like... an angle that no one's ever seen before, and it's working. And he's making shitloads of money, and he's adding hit after hit. I just saw this interview. I just sent this interview to BMAC probably half an hour ago of Tekashi, where this radio presenter's basically just saying, do you take your craft seriously? And he's like, well, fuck no. And he just like sang some of his lyrics from his song. He's like, what the fuck even is that? What is that?
I'm enjoying even getting into the hip hop, like the radio presenters too. This person I was listening to, Angie Martinez, it's just like these figures in hip hop who obviously I have no idea who they are, but you can see that they have so much, get so much respect from the artists and the community. And yeah, I feel like I had one of those moments, and I don't always follow through. It's like when I get super excited about some sort of website, I'm like, man, I'm going to favorite this. I'm going to view it every day, and this is going to be my new type of content. I was like, maybe I could just deep dive into all this hip-hop stuff just to understand it more.
All you need to do is follow Tekashi, then you'll pick up on some others. This is how it happens for me. Like, I don't even know how I came across his Insta page, but then I started looking at his YouTube videos, and I find myself watching heaps of his shit. He's just got bizarre content. I mean, he's like a content king. He's pumping out so many little random videos and just bizarre shit. It's awesome. It's good that you get into it.
It'd be easy to be hated. I think the vibe that I get is that it would be easy to hate him.
Mm.
But I think that his perspectives are super interesting. And you also, I don't think you can look at this stuff without looking at one's past and being like, oh, like, given the circumstances, it's amazing. You know, you could go two ways. He could have been doing this level of hustle within the sort of, in drugs and all that sort of thing, and instead he's creating content.
Man, there's a, he's a unicorn in that space. Yeah. Like, there is millions and millions of dudes, and you see them when you go to places like New York, just these guys on the street hustling, rapping, trying to sell you their mixtape.
The whole CD, the whole CD thing. I'm like, bro, I don't even know where I'm going to put it. I think now they've started giving USBs, but even then, really? I'm like, I've got like a USB-C, so even a USB now. They need to go one step ahead. They just need to give me a download link or something.
This is so weird, but I've been watching, TMZ or, you know, like, what do you call them? Paparazzi. I mean, what there's like, they just post clips online of them following celebrities. So they'll be like Justin Bieber, he'd just be walking in to get a coffee. And I love watching them because it's just this view on this person's life. And I watched just going, how fuck's that dude following Justin Bieber? How fuck's Justin Bieber's life of him? He can't even go in to get a coffee. And there's just hundreds of people running around, and how people interacting with him. And so it's like raw footage of these paparazzi interactions. It's not like cut in between, you know, big music and here's Justin Bieber. It's just literally raw footage from a camera. And there's hundreds of thousands of these videos on YouTube of any celebrity that you like. It's bizarre. I don't know how I went down that rabbit hole recently, but it's interesting.
There's an app too where you can actually, I forgot the name of it, but it's like a celebrity spotting app. So I think the thing that's, you don't have to worry about, I don't think paparazzi is the celebrity's biggest problem now. I think it's actually citizen paparazzis, which they're basically that anyway, where they, there's apps where you can upload if you've seen a photo of someone. So it's like them. Literally, you can't go to a restaurant now without someone seeing, you know, 50 Cent and being like, you know, zooming in and getting a photo and posting it online.
Can you please follow 50 Cent on Instagram too? He's amazing. Really? He gets in beef. He loves Tekashi 6ix9ine, and he had and because Tekashi calls himself the king of New York, and so is, I think, 50 Cent. So he's from New York. He's like that. Old school gangster from New York. So there was people like, you know, talking about those two, and then there was a photo of them together, and it's hilarious. But 50 Cent trolls so many people. It's hilarious. He makes fun of Floyd Mayweather, the boxer, and just about how he can't read. It's hilarious. And they used to be mates, and now they hate each other or something like that. But anyway, that's another one for you, a little project for you, Josh. 50 Cent deep dive.
Yeah.
See what he's up to.
Maybe I could have a hip hop segment on the show. Maybe once a week I can just sort of tell you a new hip hop artist, tell you a little bit about them, school you.
All right. Well, maybe just do this in collaboration with BMAC, because he knows what he's talking about. He works for a label here in Australia. So, I mean, it depends on how you want to come across.
What about this? When we go to New York, let's at least have one interview, like one conversation, one guest that's a rapper.
Yes,
I think that would be fun. I think just to build up a bit of cred, get a bit of maybe launch my rapping career.
I'm sure if we paid one of the guys trying to sell his mixtape, he'd just do an interview instead.
Actually, that's a great idea. We should 100% use like the use one of the guys on the street. That'd be fun.
We spoke to them when I was in New York last 2012, and talking to them, they'll do a rap for you or freestyle. If you pay them a few bucks, they'll just like you drop a
wonder
beat.
If they could hold a 30 to 45 minute show. Could go either way.
That might.
We got a couple of emails. Derek Myers on
Did
the
he?
Email pointed out I've been going on about thongs, not a thongs guy. He mentioned the C word in the email. Crocs.
Derek, Crocs. Jeez.
Yeah. He's suggesting I get Crocs, and he sent a photo with some sort of SpongeBob edition. And funnily enough, Bree had mentioned when I was saying about the thongs issue that there's a lot of people around here wearing Crocs. But I feel like there are no-go Crocs. I can never... With all the work that I've done on my rebrand, getting Crocs would be a real step back.
There's a real, like, taking Crocs to the next level, and that's wearing long socks with Crocs. It's almost like it goes beyond fucked and it becomes cool. So now it's...
Really?
Yeah, there's heaps of people in Collingwood doing it. It's whack. Artists love it. I think it's like... It's the push.
Artists do drugs. It doesn't mean it's a good idea. Like they're sort of fucked off their face wearing Crocs. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it's cool at all. Have you seen the photos
of
people with sunburn that's gone through the Crocs and it's just little circles? I don't know how real it is.
I don't want that. We haven't had anyone close the loop in regards to the skin cancer thing about the moles. So I'm still just sort of rocking my normal routine of just putting a bit of sunscreen on my face. I haven't been getting burnt, which is good.
But I can't imagine you one to be just parading around without a top on, just through the streets.
Yeah, you should see me in bloody Europe. People don't give a fuck in Europe. Yeah, I'm the loosest unit going around. I've got the sickest tan. We've got to get a photo when you and I are in LA, tops off on the beach, playing a bit of volleyball.
All right.
I'll have the sickest tan by then. Just quickly, we didn't get to it yesterday, but Michelle, she was talking about, she was appreciating, actually a lot of great feedback about the Cycling Maven episode. Got a few emails, Matta, Michelle, people reaching out and saying that they really enjoyed it. And she was talking about how much she liked Mark's view on the numbers and... I think we're talking about the YouTube numbers and how he doesn't look at them. Anyway, she did send through, and I won't read it now because I'm sure I'll fuck it up and it'll play with my mind, but she sent through a riddle.
Yeah.
Do you understand the riddle yet?
I have no idea, but I might have read it when I was sick yesterday.
I think what I need to do is I need to go through... And take every line. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines in the riddle. And so what I think I need to do is put it in Evernote and break it down line by line and try and work out what it means. I think that's the only way I'm going to understand this riddle.
You're decoding the Da Vinci Code. Is that...
it has that vibe.
So
it's,
I didn't understand it, Michelle. I'll have another read over it. Maybe Amy's brain is smart enough to interpret what you've riddled to us.
I've been having a bit of a I've got a bit of a complex about intelligence at the moment and the lack of intelligence I feel that I have.
But that's why we're doing this show, to grow. Yeah. I got a compliment from Craig Harper. He said, you are a much better communicator since you've been doing the podcast with Josh.
Did you say, thanks, Craig. You're listening to the Daily Talk Show, and then play a tune.
No, but
that's,
I think,
a nice compliment.
You can only get better unless you're punching cones. Then you probably may lose a few brain cells and lose your intelligence. But I think that's why we're doing this. This is why you're bringing your word of the day, which...
Yeah. Today was the difference between mastectomy and vasectomy, correct?
Yeah. Well, we got it. We know.
Yeah,
we know.
I think that's it. Like, you need to, you need to have those moments to learn.
I think sometimes this is a bit of a not criticism, constructive for you. you worry about getting shit wrong. And I think you learn pretty quickly when you get stuff wrong, because it's okay to be wrong.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's, I don't think it's the getting it wrong. I think it's annoying when I knew when it was, it's the difference between a spelling mistake and a typo. So if people feel like if it's a typo, it's like, ah, yeah, he just misused his fingers, you know, in that moment. Whereas a spelling mistake is you actually didn't know how to spell the word. So I feel like the vasectomy thing felt more like a typo than a spelling mistake. But I did want to do a shout out. I've mentioned them before, but they're actually Zara, one of the co-hosts, is back from being on holidays. Michelle and Zara have a podcast called Shameless, and I was listening to it while I was sunbaking yesterday. And
there's the manliest thing you've ever said.
Yeah, we've said it before. I'm probably the most femme in regards to our podcast duo. I do get self-conscious because a lot of the podcasts I listen to have sort of a, like, we're female focus type of vibe. Like, hey, you know, we're just a bunch of chicks chatting.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me which feels a little bit out of place. But no, their podcast, Shameless, especially if you're a female, if you sort of are into pop culture and all that sort of thing, they're super. That's what's gotten me sort of thinking about my vocabulary and all that sort of thing. Is they're just like very articulate, and they remind me of us in regards to some of the conversations we're having, but they sort of know how to articulate it. So that's my recommendation. Have you been listening to any podcasts?
Just the one from and I suggest, and I've already suggested it to about 10 other people, James Altucher and Seth Godin. His latest episode, it was unbelievable. It was just
It was really good.
It resonated with me and obviously you because of the journey we're on. But I think for anyone who's wanting to create something and put it out there, or I've sent it to people, friends of mine who have written books, and it just, I think, puts in perspective some of the stuff that people have when they think around what success of something means and what people think success is. One of the things that blew my mind is that you can pay $80,000 and be on the New York Times bestseller list with your book.
Yeah. Yeah. So what he's referring to there, I think, is, you know, it's a numbers game, right? So especially people like Gary Vaynerchuk, you'll notice that when he does a launch of his book, he'll be doing these big deals where it's like you buy 10 copies, hardcover copies, and you'll get this webinar access, or buy 15 or 20 copies. So what they basically, what a lot of the those sort of hustling authors who want to make those New York Times best-selling lists do is they ramp up and sort of almost inflate the numbers by getting their audience to buy multiple copies and giving other rewards. So and it only works, you'll notice, at the beginning of a book launch, they'll be just pushing the hardcover copy because that is the copy that is used to determine whether they basically make the New York Times list. So things like Kindle versions don't make it. I think that's what he was probably referring to, is you can spend a bunch of money, buy a bunch of books, get your audience to buy it, and sort of
You'll get onto
the system.
It's crazy, but that was a great episode, great podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it was very good. Awesome, everyone. I'm in Positano right now. It is 9 in the morning. It's 5 p.m. where you are.
Are you leaving today?
Yeah. So change of plans though. We're not going to Turkey yet. The flights were just too expensive compared to what I think they should be. So we're now going to Capri, spending a few days there on that island, and then we're heading to Naples, where we're doing Pompeii, and then after that we fly to Munich, then we fly to Poland, and then we go to France, And so that's our current plan.
If you have any money left after Capri, it's meant to be like one of the most expensive islands. It's so expensive.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I was just looking up doing a boat tour. Are you much of a... I'm trying to work out whether to do the group boat tour or just getting a private one. I don't know if I can handle just dealing with other people.
No, I'll tell you right now. Get the boat that has like 8 people on it. There's like just couples. Sometimes it's not even full. We did. So you can go on the boat with like 25, 30 people. Or the boat... Yeah. They're private ones. They're about 110 euros each, maybe a bit less, 90 euros each, but it's 100% worth it. You get a smaller boat, they give you lunch, it's so much better. Go the private tour, spend a little bit more, YOLO.
Well, I was thinking, so when they say private, it's private with a few other people on it.
Yeah,
it's not completely private, unless you've got a party of 7 or something.
Yeah, correct. So you'll get put with a bunch of other people. Oh, lovely. We met some really lovely couples from all over the world on there.
Sounds like you talk to them, though. I have this real sort of a back and forth. Like, I have this moment of,
just,
I don't know.
No English.
Yeah, yo no capisco.
I think if you... Because you can just go down and lie on the boat. And if you... Here's a good one. Pretend that you're seasick. Because they'll leave you alone.
I could just still a bit of vomiting. No, I don't know.
Don't have to vomit. You can just look queasy.
I just don't. I'm not the guy who loves those sort of tours where you talk. But in saying that, when we're put in that position, like we were on a boat yesterday and there was another couple, and Bree is the person who loves the banter and talking and saying, oh, yeah, where are you from? All that sort of thing. And so I just, I vibe off that. But I feel like it doesn't feel like a holiday when I play in that space.
Yeah. Well, mate, just do what you normally do. Get a podcast and sit in the corner.
I'll just literally put my AirPods in, listen to a bit of Shameless, Sunbake. It's me and the girls. It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone. Send us your emails, hi@thedailytalkshow.com, and also rate us on the Apple Podcast app or through iTunes. Anything else, TJ? Is that it?
That's it, mate.
All right, have a good one. Catch ya. Bye.
See you guys.